5, paper number 29. And who's going to tee this up for us? Dragobet.
I'll tee it up briefly. This is I think it's couched as a wide question. How should an entity evaluate whether a product warranties a performance obligation in a contract with a customer and a warranty isn't separately priced? I mean, in fact, the standard does have quite extensive guidance on this. The actual question that's being asked, or the actual example that's being adduced, is actually a much narrower one. It's the one of a luggage company providing a lifetime warranty that states, if your baggage is broken or damaged, we will repair it free of charge. And the question there is there a service that ought to be separated out of that, or is that essentially a guarantee that the luggage or whatever the item is will perform in accordance with its agreed upon specifications? And the paper basically just sets out how you would apply the principle and the indicators, and it concludes that if the company does actually guarantee to repair the luggage, if it's damaged by external parties, nothing to do with the defect, then that really is a service, and you ought to separate out some element of revenue. How much you ought to separate out, obviously, is a matter of estimation. It would depend on what the item is, how long it would last, and whether realistically anyone's going to call on it. If, say, it's a fashion item, such as luggage is.
My luggage.
But I mean, Henry, in fact, has one of the cases that has this guarantee, which the wording was lifted from. So you certainly can't accuse this of being a contrived example. But I think it's a very, frankly, limited applicability. I think the paper does set out the considerations that you would look to. I think the paper does come to a conclusion, which certainly I think is correct. And it's perhaps best to regard this almost as an education paper rather than a burning question that really needs to be answered before we can proceed further. So, over to you, please.
Agreed. Charles agrees. Anybody else like to make a comment? Disagree? James.
We agree with where the staff got to, and we thought the paper was actually quite useful. Especially in considerations to take into account. I suppose the only comment I really have is the paper didn't seem to draw out the fact that you may have to bifurcate the warranty into an assurance-type warranty and a service-type warranty. We didn't feel that point came out very strongly. It seemed to be more binary in nature, and that's the only comment I wanted to add.
Although there's a little bit in the standard that says that in some cases if you've got both, you have to account for them together, but you go to the performance obligation service type warranty example rather than the assurance type warranty.
Should I say that again, Henry?
Well, there's a I'm just got it here. It's in paragraph B32. There's a little bit of the guidance that specifies that effectively if you've got both types of warranties and you can't reasonably account for them separately, then you account for them both together as a performance obligation type warranty.
But if you can objectively set
that's right. Right. But I take James's point absolutely.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, I agree with the staff analysis, and technically this is the right interpretation. So this type of warranty has a separate performance obligation. But I'm a little bit concerned about all this lifetime warranty needs to maybe account for the separate performance obligation in two reasons. One is maybe the practically measurement. I have a challenge. How we measure for the lifetime warranty is that we can produce the reliable information is one challenge. But I think we somehow need to figure out that estimate. The other is it's not accounting, but kind of maybe the common sense or type of things. But if I read this note that if your baggage is broken or damaged, we will repair it free of charge. I read it that this is we want to keep the good relationship until you die. So just keep the baggage for your life. So this, I'm a little bit, have a question about what this means. It doesn't really mean to provide additional service or repair. I have a question about this in the analysis in paragraph 19C. This baggage is broken or damaged. This entity provides a replacement. Is that really happening? So is that really offering that? So it doesn't make sense from economical perspective. If it's continue to use this and worn out, maybe change the parts and those, and then expecting some replacement or additional purchase for maybe your family or whatever. I think that's the message I thought. So it's not, I think it's a kind of, could be a marketing element might be included in here. So without understanding this, we just say that additional performance obligation needs to be identified and account for that. We just say this for those over lifetime warranty. I think that maybe I have a concern that it might kind of misleading direction.
I think the offer is genuine. I mean, it is in the agreement, but I think it's basically, looked at economically from the point of view of the luggage supplier, I think they take the view, and it's presumably based on experience by now, that very few people will actually do it after a couple of years, because realistically, luggage is a fashion item, and the idea that Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian is going to walk around with a 50-year-old bag that's been repaired six times, I think it's pretty inconceivable. So after a year or two, frankly, most of the liability will have gone, or you could release the remaining revenue. It's an extreme example basically, but I think people give it because they don't think it's actually going to be caught. But obviously, if they do, you've got to account for it, and I think this is the right way to account for it.
Well, plus, Stuart, I think to your example, every time I've had one of these things and tried to collect on it, it's near impossible. No proof of original purchase, used only for the purpose intended, due care, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you're right. At least in this example, we're probably talking a couple of years, not a couple of decades.
I think we generally agreed with the position that the staff got to in this paper. The difficulty we had was the slight circularity in the way it's defined. So if I sell a suitcase which I say is indestructible, isn't that the agreed upon specifications? I don't think it gets you to the right answer, but I think it's potentially an answer you could get to from the way that it's worded. The other thing that we struggled slightly with was this idea that just extending the length of time of a warranty was necessarily offering something above and beyond the product works in accordance with agreed upon specifications, unless you were saying that there was an element of inbuilt redundancy to a product. So a TV, it will only work for 3 years.
So your point a little bit is the way that you could try to read the words it complies with agreed upon specifications very broadly.
Yes.
And as you say, you're arguing that effectively the fact that you've said it will last forever means that there's no service that's incremental to the functionality of the suitcase. And I think that was the point we're trying to draw out in paragraph 23, is saying, well, you've got to think about the functionality of the thing that's described in the contract. But clearly, there's a fine judgment call with some of these warranties.
Wow.
Yeah, I think this kind of luggage costs three times an average luggage. Therefore, it's reasonable with the warranty for lifetime to defer a piece of the revenue in the long run. And I do agree with Kazu. We have a huge challenging for measurement, regarding measurement. However, it relies on a complex management decision to grant a lifetime guarantee. Therefore, I think the accounting, the complexity accounting, we follow the complexity of the business of the management decision. It's the life as it is.
Okay, Andrew. If I start with the paper, we very much agreed with the principles that were set out in it. As others said, there might be some slightly complex calculations, but this is something where the manufacturer is effectively saying, no matter what happens to this thing, we'll repair it or replace it. So if it happens to fly around the world in multiple aircraft and have heavy things dropped on it and gets broken, it's going to get replaced. So that strikes me that there's something else to account for. And it's in principle not terribly different from a number of other things that we see in practice. If I go into a different part of the market, if I'm looking at my own jurisdiction, there are some retailers that sell electrical goods, and they automatically give an enhanced warranty in comparison with one that you'll get if you go to most other ones. And that tends to make you feel that there's something else that's being provided there. It's going further than the agreed upon specifications. You see a similar thing in the car market. In this country, typically, you've got a three-year warranty, sometimes unlimited mileage, sometimes limited. That is something which is so standard across the industry, you could probably argue that that's agreed upon specifications. But when you find someone giving you a 5 or 7 or 10 year warranty, that then is providing you with something else in addition to it. And I think there's enough guidance in the standard to deal with all of these different scenarios. And I think it comes back rightly into the principles that are articulated in this paper.
Okay. Bill. Just to come back on the point that Jake made, really, because I think there is a danger of people playing with words. I think if you are looking at something that realistically can only last 5 years, for the sake of argument, I'm not talking about luggage necessarily, and you have a contract that promises that it will last for 10 years, and if it doesn't, you'll replace it, it's agreed on specifications are not that it will last 10 years. It's not going to last 10 years. It's going to last 5 years at most. You've just promised to provide something else when it ceases to work. You've not changed its qualities in a way that's actually made it longer lasting. You've simply promised to provide something else. So I think you have to be very careful when you're looking at the words that are used, because sometimes people will use words that don't reflect what's actually going on. You've got to look at the inherent qualities of the thing, not the marketing speak that goes around it. So I think it's a very valid point, but that's how I would come back to it.
That was a much better explanation of what I was trying to say. Tony.
I'm going to say something very similar to what Phil said. I think maybe just restricted to, I wonder if this conversation is getting a bit too hung up on luggage. I think the principles the staff have set out in the paper are perfectly clear in my view and consistent with the standard. And that it's, there are circumstances when you need to analyse whether or not you have something that goes beyond a standard warranty. And these are the factors that you take into account together with the other circumstances. And I think the standard is perfectly clear. It gives you a hint about what to do, and I think would support the conclusions that the staff reached.
I think just picking up on something that Stuart said at the start, I mean, to some degree there is an educative aspect to this. I know there was slightly different practice under IFRS, but of course US GAAP previously had a brighter line, if you like, between the two types of warranty. So the standard in that regard of requiring you to perhaps sometimes identify this service that you wouldn't currently account for under US GAAP as a separate warranty because it wasn't separately priced. So that there is a change to practice there that we're just trying to draw out, I guess.
Okay. Any other comments? So I think I heard that everybody agrees with the principles enunciated in the paper, but everybody has a bit of a warning that there's going to be difficult circumstances where you have to exercise judgment. We're rattling through now.